Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Small and Microcap News on Tuesday. It is 11th of November 2025. I always get stuck on dates. I don't know why I can't get them in my head. I'm sorry this is a bit late. The day has gone. I don't know where it's gone. I've been doing work and all that stuff, and the day has flown by. And then before I know it, I was about to record the podcast. My wife texts me because I'm in the garden office saying, food's ready. So I came in for food, sat down for a while, and I couldn't get off the sofa. And I was like, oh. But anyway, I've come back into the office because my computer's in here anyway. Let's start off with a bit of a negative one. Unemployment. The rate of unemployment, UK unemployment, risen to 5% in the 3 months of September. Last time it was this bad was during COVID. That's how bad it is. When the governments of the world were shutting down economies, forcefully closing down businesses, that's where unemployment is right now. It's unbelievable, isn't it? That's how bad these numbers are. Reeves was warned not to kill the golden goose. Okay, she hasn't quite killed it, but it's on life support. And this, the worry about the next budget is the equivalent of her stepping on the oxygen pipe that's going to the goose. It's, you know, in a coma. I can't believe that someone would stand as a chancellor. So we're going for growth and you achieve the very opposite of growth. How is that possible? Every decision she's making is the wrong one. She is the biggest obstacle to growth in the UK. Full stop. If she didn't do anything in the budget, it would be a positive. But it's not. People are now worrying over the budget. She's delayed it. Everything she does causes problems for the economy. Everything she does. It's driving me nuts. Small and medium-sized enterprises are the golden goose. That's where all the growth comes from. And she decides to really, you know, put her boot on the neck of the owners and say, we won't raise taxes on working people. They are working people, you dick. They are the hardest working people. The way they lie to come up with these definitions drive me insane. It's so slimy, isn't it? So disingenuous, deceitful. Now, if there's one positive that comes out of this, is that wages aren't up so much. And so the Bank of England look at wages in regards to inflation. Of course, they have a one-mandate policy, the Bank of England, turn up once a month pretty much and say, what should we do? Up, down, hold, eh? Let's get some charts out and explain this away. So now they're going to be probably reducing interest rates in December. Which is a good, it's the only thing that'll save the economy. The only thing. And it's only, we're sort of saving it. Literally, we are sort of saving it. You know, we're not sort of boosting it. We're saving it from further decline. I mean, it'll be good for the markets, hopefully. But the claimant count in October, so people claiming, was 29,000. They were expecting 17,600. And this was up from 400 in September. Is that right? 400.4K? That's a foreigner, isn't it? So employment change down 20,000. It was up 91,000 last month. Unbelievable. Wages, so excluding bonuses, wages came in at 4.6% higher against 4.7% last month, and that was predicted. But average earnings, including bonus, was 4.8%. Expected to come in at 5%, and also previously it was 5%. So people are maybe not getting their bonus, are they? So that, if anything, that's a positive. But I just don't understand how you've got a chancellor there. All you need to do is nothing, really much, and it'll be a positive. But what you do is throw a spanner into the works. And it's all about raising taxes and cutting spending. They're not cutting spending, are they? There's now removing the child cap. And people say no one should be born in poverty. Well, the thing is, I don't agree with that. If you can't afford to have kids, don't have kids, more than two kids anyway. Because I think that's where the child cap ends, isn't it, after two. If you're skint and you're struggling, why would you have more than two kids? So now everyone's got to pay for families who can't afford to have more than two kids, but they're having them anyway. Bloody hell. And that's Labour's welfare bill is huge, and they refuse to rein it in. Rein that bloody thing in, just cut welfare. Get people back working. Another bit of unhappy news, or negative news. Equity funds suffered their largest outflows on record in October, according to the latest fund flow index from Calastone, the largest global funds network. Investors withdrew £3.63 billion from their equity fund holdings, marking a fifth consecutive month of outflows from the asset class, the longest stint of selling since the Brexit referendum in 2016. Between June and October, investors have pulled a net £7.36 billion out of equity funds, easily the largest outflow on the record. And do you know what? Reeves is handling that as well, is she? She's involved in that too. You know? People worrying about the budget, how it's going to change. Let's pull some money out. Let's put in something stable. Like fixed income, apparently that stayed with it. That increased. Do you know what? I'm a little bit worried about the markets because there's a lot of talk about the AI bubble. But I've said before, once people are talking about bubble all the time, it doesn't tend to pop. We don't know. It could be different this time. Who knows? But I was just reading into that. When you look at what's the biggest poster childs for for AI? What are they? And you've got to think it's going to be Nvidia. You think, oh, Nvidia's not too bad because they are actually generating lots of cash. And then you think, what on the chat? On the actual platform side, it's sort of ChatGPT, isn't it? OpenAI. And I didn't realize this. They've done a lot of deals recently, you know, inwardly facing deals and very circular deals that rely on each other. So, for example, you know, they'll have to pay out $1.4 trillion. They have $1.4 trillion of contracts to expand their compute from, you know, sort of data centers to Nvidia chips, all that stuff. They did lots of deals with everyone. Now, Sam Altman was the CEO. He's addressing concerns about OpenAI's revenue growth. He wrote the company expects to end this year above $20 billion in annualized revenue run rate and grow to hundreds of billions, or to a hundred of billions, I think, by 2030. But how does that square with $1.4 trillion? You're borrowing $1.4 trillion of people you're buying chips from or warehouses. It doesn't make any sense, data centers. I don't think this makes sense. These circular deals are quite worrying. If the poster child of ChatGPT can't make these payments, what happens? And there's loads of these deals going on, these interrelational deals within the ecosystem. If one fails, it'll be like a domino effect, won't it? That's what's worrying. Then you pile on top of that I think I was reading a stat a while back saying that US equity investors are most leveraged now than they've ever been. A lot of people, you know, not a lot, but there's the highest level of borrowed money to invest. So what happens is when you have big sell-offs, you get margin calls and it exacerbates the fall. So it's a little bit worrying, isn't it? There is kind of a bubble going on. I don't see, and also I had a good point on CNBC about, you know, the Mag 7, all these big companies have always been regarded as, you know, so capital-like models, you know, software, service, all this kind of stuff. Copy and paste pretty much, isn't it? But now they're investing so much in data centers, they're not capital-light anymore. You know, their return on equity go down because they're investing so much. And you think, will they get a return on that? Okay, there's lots of people using ChatGPT or AI, but I have never paid for AI. Have you ever paid for AI? I understand enterprise, you know, maybe companies are, but is it enough to cover the amount they're spending? I mean, a lot of these companies, by the way, are raising this money on debt. I think it was like in the, this year? It's like, I can't remember the figures, but it's something like 125 billion so far has been raised on debt on AI expansion. So these companies now are not only, you know, amassing debt, but they've become a bit of a different model than capital intensive, which then you get a return on the capital. So it's a little bit concerning, isn't it? Anyway, let's look at the markets. That was a lot of the macro news. I do say it's, you know, micro cap, small cap news. I'm fascinated by macro as well. Okay. Let me just go to the markets here. Let's get the right indices up. So as it's, you know, evening time, I can go through all the indices. Let me just get in alphabetical order here. Let's go from A to W. So the world index, that FTSE All World Index, up 0.5%, pretty much, so 66.4 or 664, not far off an all-time high, actually. The all-time high was 668, you know, 664. The AIM All Share, up today, 759, up a 0.1%. So it's back in that trading range. What else is there? Let's go down. The FTSE 250, up 0.8%. 22,149. The Russell 2000 in America, the small cap index, up just over 0.1%, 2,459. The FTSE small cap, up 0.6%, 7,361. The S&P 500, up 0.25%, 6,851. Stock 600 in Europe, up 1.28%. Wow. And the FTSE 100, all-time high again. It's at 1.15% here. To 9,899. We are literally 101 points away from 10,000 on the FTSE. Be good to see that, wouldn't it? Be nice to see that, yeah. Let's look at commodities. I'm answering myself there. Brent crude, up 31%, $65 a barrel. What else have we got? Gold, also up to $4,130 an ounce, up 0.1%, that is. And copper's down 0.7% to just over $5.07 dollars a pound. What else have we got? Lithium's down 0.25%. NASDAQ is down 0.25%. I've got the mix up between NASDAQ and lithium. 23,474. Lithium is flat. But I did see uranium up a little bit. $78.4 a pound. Okay, this is the microcap database. Sharepickers.com. Okay. Should I do three or four companies here? Let's see how I get along. Alphabetical. These are all profitable companies, sub 300 million market cap, because that's where the winners come from, long-term sustainable winners. I'm not saying this company is, I'm just saying, you know, that's the area of the market you need to look size-wise, profit-wise, sustainability and growth, and obviously decent value. AB Dynamics, ABDP, is a leading designer, manufacturer, and supplier of advanced testing, simulation, and measurement products and services to the global transport market. So, headquartered in Bradford-upon-Avon, at 13 pence a share, they are a market cap of 297 million, enterprise value 252, so they've got no debt, 44.7 million. And these were their final results today. So revenue up 3%, to 114.7 million. Net profit up 24% at 12 million. Net cash up 41% at 44.7 million. Free cash flow up 574% to 18.2 million. These are good results. And ADBP. What is it? ABDP. Yeah, sorry. To be fair, they have a track record of this, of good growth. Plus, this was achieved, as the broker states, against a backdrop of increased macro uncertainty, tariff pressures, and challenged automotive sector. So The issue is here, this growth against these headwinds are set to slow to single digits. Now, just looking at it, for 2026, expect the top line of 7%, bottom line of 3% growth to 12.4 million, top line of 123.2 million. And again, in 2027, 6% top line growth, 7% bottom line growth. And it's not particularly cheap. They've never been cheap, but they had growth before, double digits, to justify the valuation here. Now, forecast growth is single digit. It is probably a bit rich valuation, even though the share price has dropped by 40% in 2025. So currently, they're not really a growth company, nor are they a value play. So where do you put them? They go one or the other, really, or they can be a bit of both. But at the moment, they're not. They're not good growth, or they're not good value. So a decent company, but if they achieve some growth, maybe. Anything else? Altitude, I won't bother that. They are sort of branded gifts, you know, various sectors. Corporate and printed vertical markets to higher education. So merchandise, branded merchandise, but essentially a bit of a profit warning today. And I wouldn't look at it, to be honest. I don't think it's going to get any easier for those. Altitude, that is ALT. FDM Group, another company that's had a heck of a, you know, heck of a time, really. And they came out with a trading update today. So they are United Kingdom-based professional services provider focusing on principally information technology. That's the problem. See, they're in recruitment, which is not very good at the moment anyway. It's a, you know, headwinds in that sector. But they're in the eye of the storm, which is IT. Now, how many coders, IT people, all that being replaced by AI? That's the trouble. Anyway, at 139 a share, there are 151 million market cap, but 111 million enterprise value, so they've got about 40 million of cash. No debt, so a strong balance sheet. What do they say today? This is an update for the full year. The board anticipates the group's financial performance for the full year 25 will be in line with its expectations. Now, these expectations were majorly downgraded at their half-year results in 2025. And their interim results, they stated, the outcome for the year as a whole will be significantly lower than its previous expectations. And they had, so half-year, their top line down 31% to 97 million. Profit for tax down 48% to 7.99. Cash down 6% to 34.6. Free cash flow down 17%, 10.65. I've been watching FDM for years. And when I first started watching them, they were 800 plus million market cap company. They're now sub 150 million. Their market, technology, training and placement, recruitment is struggling, and they are feeling this effect massively. They are profitable, have a healthy balance sheet, and pay a chunky dividend, which may be cut. This could be a decent recovery play if their end markets are not structurally affected by AI. It's hard to tell, isn't it? You've got to think, you know, a lot of jobs are being lost at the moment. Is it down to worries about the economy? Is it AI? Is it a bit of both? And is this a permanent change? Because it could be, you know. However, I'd say now is not the time to invest. Their fundamentals are still deteriorating. The group had 203 consultants assigned to clients at 31st of October. That's down from 2,173, so down from 2,173 down to 2,003. There needs to be a slowdown in the reduction in the consultants because that's where they get their money from, of course, before a sustained rally happens. I mean, this wasn't as bearish as their half-year report. So it's not getting, it's getting worse, but not as a faster rate as it was at H1. So it may bounce. It did bounce today, jumped up by about 10%. But until these numbers and they're, you know, the consultants stop slowing down as quickly as they are, you know, once they stabilize the consultants, I think then maybe a rally could be on the cards. But it may have a technical bounce, but, you know, due to being oversold. But do not confuse this with a fundamental recovery. Technical bounces are not sustainable. So it may bounce, you know, 10, 15% and then come back down, because essentially forecast figures are expected to get worse for the next 2 years. Let's do one more, because I'm a bit tired, because it is 8 o'clock. Luceco. L-U-C-E-C-O. Luceco. L-U-C-E is ticker. A leading designer and manufacturer of residential and commercial electrification products and systems. The group designs and manufactures its market-leading range of wiring accessories, EV chargers, LED lighting, and portable power products at its state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities. Anyway, 139 a share, 209 million market cap, 277 million enterprise value. So they have got debt at the last reported figures of 72 million. In fact, net debt now is 67 million. But so they came out with a trading update today for Q3. So they did say revenue growth achieved in the year to date, combined with a strong order book for Q4 2025, means fully adjusted operating profit is now expected to be towards the upper end of market expectations. So H2 is looking stronger for Luce than H1. Worth keeping an eye on debt though, as it shot up in H1. So this is their H1 figures. Revenue up 15% to 125.7 million. Net profit down 4% to 6.6 million. Net debt increased by 75% to 67.6 million. Free cash flow of 13.2 million versus outflow of 8.7. So that improved. Forecast for next year, 2025. Revenue expected to be up by 11% to 268 million. Net profit up 22% to 17.8. That'll be a PE of 12, EV earnings of 16 because of debt. So 2025 is looking okay, but 2026 and 27, it's now low single digit revenue growth and mid single digits of profit growth for 26 and 9% for 27, which would put on a PE of 10, 20.3 million would be net profit there, up 9%. And an EV earnings of 14. So valuation seems okay, but pay attention to the EV earnings as they do have a bit of debt. It could be a decent recovery play, especially if they start to reduce their debt and achieve a bit more growth into the outer years, because 26, 27, like I said, top line are low single digit. Worth noting though, EV charging makes up 23% of their revenue and they will benefit from this growing sector, of course. That's it for today. Sorry it's a bit late. Hope you're well, and speak to you tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. It's weekly webinar night for the Sharepickers Investment Club. I do a live hour webinar looking at lots of this stuff. And, of course, because of that, I'm preparing for it. I don't do a podcast on Wednesdays. If you want to join the club, go to sharepickers.com, and you get 40% off. That'll be going at the end of this year, okay? So make sure you get that 40% off at the end of this year, before the end of this year, if you want to join. That's equivalent to £2.88 a week. That's it. Okay? But it will be going at the end of this year, that 40% off. And the time goes very quickly, as you know. It's, we're already in mid-November coming up. That's nuts, isn't it? Crazy, crazy, crazy. So don't forget, sharepickers.com. Thanks for listening. Speak to you tomorrow. No, Thursday. Sorry.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.